I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm your very proud host, Frankie D, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and connect with us on LinkedIn. My guest today is the very talented singer and songwriter, Giada Valenti. Giada, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Buongiorno a te. O buon pomeriggio.
It's wonderful. No, it's wonderful to have a true Italian in our midst in America. And it's we don't get a lot of people like you anymore. So it's very exciting. Tell me where you were born in Italy, where you grew up in Italy.
So I was born and raised in a city, actually a big city, just outside Venice, Italy, called Porto Gruaro. And it's near Venice, they say, but we also have streets with cars, because every time they ask me, it's like Venice, it's similar because we have canals, but they also streets. And I studied in Venice, of course, music at the Istituto Santa Cecilia, pianoforte, piano lessons. And I spent basically my whole life there. And I live now in Las Vegas, but I lived already since 2006 in the United States. I moved to Vegas only just before COVID. And they always ask me, how can you leave Venice or Porto Gruaro to move to a city like Las Vegas or New York City? And I'm always say, you know, every place in the world is a beautiful place. Home is where your heart is when you have your business. Of course, my family and my friends, many of my friends are still in Porto Gruaro because I spent there 23 years of my life without even moving to any other place. But now I'm like all the immigrants, that my heart is torn between two worlds now, the old one and this new one. So when I'm here, I'm happy. When I'm there, I'm happy. So the only thing is I need to move around.
Yes. Just curious, is the family always been from there, or were they from another area of Italy and ended up moving there?
They've always been there, but of course, my grandparents from my maternal side, my father is from the south. My father was a police officer. He's from near Rome, the provincia of Priverno Latina. And he moved when he was 18 to do service in the police in Venice. He met my mother and he never left that place. So my paternal grandparents and my family is near the region of Lazio. So, which has been, they ask me all the time, because, you know, there is always this discussion, the north, the south, the even deeper south, Sicily. For me, I mean, maybe because of my father, all his friends, colleagues of the police were Sicilian, Calabrese, Pugliese. So for me, the Italian is a big booth. And I see the difference from north to south, but I think it's a beautiful place. And as much as I loved growing to be raised and grown up in Venice, Italy, I adore my time of vacation in the south of Italy, because let's be honest, the sun, the weather, the food, even, it's different. I mean, if we go into the food, I mean, the booth of Italy has the most delicious food from north to south, different everywhere, because we Italian, we cook from scratch. So in the south, you have more tomatoes and other kind of stuff that are super delicious, and in the north we have fish and risotto. What can we do? So I'm lucky that I got the best of both worlds.
Very true. And I noticed that your town, you're very close to Udine.
Sì, molto vicino a Udine. Sì. Oh, you know the region. Even though Udine is in another region, is in Friuli Venezia Giulia, but we are only like 40 minutes from Udine.
So you had both kind of influences in your
life. Yes. Yeah. I mean, when you live in a place like Porto Gruaro, actually Porto Gruaro, even though it's close to Venice, if you look in the map, it's closer to Pordenone, which is the main city of Friuli Venezia Giulia. It's only, let's say, 20 minutes. Venice is 45 minutes. So when you're born in a place like me, you are a little bit in the middle of two regions. So some people in Porto Gruaro, they feel more Friulani than Veneziani, which is another I mean, I don't know if our listeners know, but being from Friuli is a completely different kind of things. They're more mountain people. The Friuli is the land of cheese and the white wine. Venice, we are more into the fish and the risotto. Me, born and raised in Portogruaro, I'm in the middle, so I got the best of the mountain. Oh, a lot of my friends are from there. My godparents actually are from Pordenone. So,
If
and
I could impress you, someone somewhat famous from Pordenone here in America
oh,
is a man named Luigi Del Bianco. And
see?
Luigi Del Bianco is the chief carver of Mount Rushmore.
Oh,
Mount
wow.
Rushmore with the four presidents' faces, that's the
I
most
didn't know that.
significant symbol of the United States of America. The man who was the head of it, the chief carver. From Pordenone.
Wow, I didn't know that. It's funny when you find this connection. Always thank you for sharing that with me. For instance, I lived in New York City for 11 years, and at a certain point, I became friends with people from the Famei Friulane, which is people from Friuli, and I found out through them that all the subway in New York, you know, that they have those little how do you call them mo ceramic the mosaics mosaici. They are all made by people from Friuli Venezia Giulia. So the whole subway in Manhattan, because they are famous for making the mosaics, mosaici, they
Yes,
are
the
all from
mosaics.
Friuli.
Yes, mosaics. Yes. In fact, I totally understand what you're saying. I have a close friend that was born and raised in Sicily, but he did the military up in Friuli, and he stayed there for 25 years, and he loves it. And he told me that they're famous for these mosaics.
Yes, they are. And the whole subway of Manhattan is made by them. So it's
Amazing the
and
influence that Italians have had on the United States, and you're continuing it, Jada.
I continue. I mean, I do my best, but I mean, if you, I mean, I'm a great lover and of research and histories. I always want to learn from the past, things I've missed. And you just said it. I had actually recently a discussion with somebody. The accomplishment that the Italian Americans, the Italian actually, because now then they became Italian Americans, they had in this country, it's impressive. In the music, in the movie, and they continue nowadays with technologies. Let's not even talk about the fashion industry. I mean, me being a performer and a singer, I mean, the most famous American singer is Frank Sinatra. He was Italian, he was
And
Sicilian,
for
right?
sure, yes.
Tony Bennett, and this is only the surface. I sing sometimes songs that are American song, like At Last, written by Harry Warren, but Harry Warren, his name was Salvatore Guaragna, right?
Wow, I am very impressed by you, Jada. I
Oh,
really am.
I know them
That
all.
is
I know.
awesome that you know that because you're talking to a guy that's crazy about this kind of
Oh,
stuff.
good. Then we
And
are
I
on
knew
the
that.
same kind of vibe,
Yes,
Frank.
yes. And if I could just
Oh,
throw out the other stuff, like the sculptors, like I
yeah.
mentioned, but also in Washington, D.C. Did you ever have a chance to visit Washington,
I
D.C.?
actually did.
Okay,
Yes.
the Lincoln Memorial, which I found to be just the most incredible, incredible, incredible sculpture, was done by brothers, Piccirilli brothers, who were from, I believe, from Massa in La Toscana.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Sei Sette Fratelli, Piccirilli. They
Picture.
did that amongst a few other things in DC. So you're 100% correct that
Oh, I
our
love now. I didn't know about sculpture, but now I know everything about music. So much so that I make you laugh because if I perform a song and I love it, I always gonna do so many research that I always find along the line that there was some Italian touch there. So some comedians in New York, I remember, they make fun of me. They said, "Give it to Giada, she will find a little bit of DNA." But it's true. I mean, Italian have done. I knew about music and cinema, but remarkable things. Yeah, for exactly.
Guido d'Arezzo, conosci?
E come no, ho fatto il liceo classico,
Look who
tutte
I'm
quelle
telling.
cose.
No, I know. No, this is great. Yes. Well, let's talk about your career. I'm sorry, we got it way off, but I was so impressed with all your knowledge. I love it. You started early age,
Yes.
school, singing professionally. Tell us about when you first started. I believe that you went to Switzerland, if that's correct.
Yeah, so I never made a decision that I wanted to be a singer or a musician. It just happened that music, I think, was what I was supposed to do. So I started as a little girl in Venice. My grandma, all like all the Italian people, I think, grandmother was going to the church. She was a great so a singer. She took me with her, and she noticed that I could carry a tune. So she said to my parents, "Let's bring her to a music school." So I started at 5 years old. They enrolled me to music school, so I could write music notes before I could write the A B C D and letters. And I never made a decision that I wanted to be a musician or so a singer, but music made me happy. And my crazy grandfather from my maternal side, he always said, in life, you need to be happy. So find something that makes you happy, continue to do so. And that's been basically my whole life. I studied psychology because my parents were like, you have to have also a serious kind of career in case music doesn't work. So I had a degree in psychology from the university in Padova. And then in the winter months, there were no exams to do during the, say, December, January, and February, and music was my passion. So two older musicians that were friends of my parents actually at this gig in Switzerland. At the time, we are talking about 20 years ago, and they had this 3 months in Switzerland, super well paid, so I could pay my studies and everything, and I was one of those gigs, you think for the rich and famous for 5 hours long, nobody's even looking at you. You are on a corner singing for 5 hours straight. But hey, I did it. And I didn't know that one night I found the love of my life. He was in the audience. I married him 9 months after I met him, JJ, and I moved to Amsterdam.
Wow.
We married, yeah. I mean, no children involved because everybody, my parents, of course, 9 months after the first meeting, we're like, oh, when is the baby coming? Still don't have a baby after 20 years. But anyway, we moved to Amsterdam. That's been a life changing and enrichment of my life. I went there with the idea, okay, now I'm going to get married, start a family, and that will make me happy. And then without even knowing, music always comes to my life back again. And my husband worked for televisions, and a friend of his was, he said, I'm looking for somebody that, that helped me to organize some concert. They have some American actors and singer coming to the Netherlands, and they needed somebody, with helping them with suitcases, just a simple work from taking from the hotel to the theater. And I did it. And one day, talking to one of the actors, Bobby Hicks, she was one of the actors for The Bold and the Beautiful. She asked me what was my passion, and I said it was music, that I was a singer. I had not done it anymore, and she said, "You stopped already? So young." I said, "I want to listen to something." So I brought a little recording I had that I made in Italy because I have done a lot of stuff in Italy too. I was on my way to do stuff in Italy, and she loved it. She gave it to a record company, and in no time, I got a record deal. I participated to something that was called at the time it non esiste più. It's not existing anymore. It was calling Sanremo Giovani nel Mondo. Was a competition for Italian singers and songwriters living abroad. So I participated representing the Netherlands. I won with a song that I had just wrote for the love for JJ, for my husband. It was called Solo Con Te, Only With You. And that got me to a record deal, and the rest is history. I never stopped, and here I am.
How did you end up coming to the United States?
So I had this little beginning in Netherlands. I did pretty okay with the first album, with all original Italian song I'd written. The Netherlands is a country that let's stay to people they don't know is a country that has always been very open minded musically, and they always embrace as first Italian music. So Andrea Bocelli had the first success there, Laura Pausini. So it was the same for me. So I made this Italian album, and some of the songs were in our rotation on radio, were doing pretty well. At a certain point, when I was busy with the second album, I wanted to write something different with better songwriter. So with JJ, we decided to go look for different co-writers. So we went to the Medem in Cannes, in France. There was every year there was this big convention for publisher, and we connected with this big independent company from London, and they invited us to go to London to do some co-writing. I co-wrote a few songs. They loved it. So much so that they gave me a deal, a publishing deal that was for me as a young girl at the time was like, to these days, it would be like unbelievable. And I took it. And the only thing was I needed to move to London. So I moved to London. Long story short, I started to write also in English when I was there. And I wrote this song called Italian Signorina just for fun. And JJ sent it to all various labels around the country, and we got invited in New York City by the one and only Clive Davis. He wrote an email when he said that my voice was enchanting. So we came to New York City around the holidays, around this time actually. And I've never been to an America. I've never had a dream to come into America. And I love the place. And Clive said, listen, we cannot give you a deal right away. You have to work with us. You have to improve your English. You have to start working with American songwriter. Would you like to take the risk? I said, why not? I could, I was economically, I could do it because I had the publishing deal paying every month some advance, and I did it. I moved to New York and I never left.
And no looking back, correct?
No looking back. Yeah. And yeah, now I live in Las Vegas, so I live on the West Coast. I look back and I'm like, how did I spend 11 years in New York with the rain and shoveling snow? But nevertheless, was 11 magnificent here. New York is also very special in my heart.
So tell us a little bit, you've done a lot of things. Tell me a little bit about your PBS special in 2014.
A friend of mine said, you've done so many things that nobody knows about it. It's true. Yes, I've done a PBS special in 2015, 16, and 17 that actually aired nationally called From Venice We Love that we self-produced with my husband. As I said, he comes from the television world. While we started to do all this concert around the East Coast, I was approached by PBS, PBS New York. I started to become friendly with them and they thought I had something special to give. And they said, if you can film something, we will be willing to show it to the world. I had become friendly with Andrea Bocelli. I saw that Andrea was doing the same thing. He was filming a concert. So we worked very hard for 2 years, actually, doing showcases, trying to raise capital, because PBS, as you know, is, they give you the outlet, the space, but they were not in a financial position to help. And with the amazing help of some amazing friends and supporters, we did it. And it was a national PBS special. It was very beautiful. We worked so hard to get all kind of deals. I had so many people that helped me to build that beautiful stage that people can see. It was all built by Mike Cangelosi, a Sicilian friend of mine in Brooklyn that made Woods, staircase with Woods. I approached him and he said, I help you. And he helped me to build the staircase and Venice. And then I wanted to have a big chandelier. I'm Venetian, so I know all the glassmakers. And I approached them and they said, we had a short window of only 3 months to arrange everything. And they said, listen, Giada, to make such a big chandelier, it takes at least a year to make it. And then we have to ship it. So I found then a similar chandelier I wanted in New York City, in a store. And I approached the owner of the store. And of course, he said, you're crazy. You want me to lend you a $30,000 chandelier made of glass that can break in a second? I said, please. And before you knew, he came to see me at a showcase and his wife was heavily pregnant. It was a romantic show. And she said, let's help her. So everybody chipped in and I had it. And I'm very proud of that. I mean, PBS has been an amazing, I always love PBS because of the richness of the programming, talking about something that deliver culture. I've always been a fan of PBS. And so being part of their family has been such a great privilege. And I'm still good connected with them because they keep saying, when are you coming with the next? And I'm always say, first I need to find a funding again, but I will go back.
That was quite a beautiful concert. I mean, I looked it up and it's just, I mean, everything about it was very elegant. You were very elegant. The songs were beautiful, the scenery, everything. It was quite a night.
Yeah, we put heart and soul, and we recorded that night. Everything was live recorded in once. And the night, I mean, I had worked so hard doing the fundraising, doing the everything, that then the day that we filmed the PBS special, I had a very high fever, a cold sore on my mouth. I remember stepping into the stage for sound check, and my producer, he said, how are you going to do it? I said, I worked for 2 years. No matter what, it's going to happen. And you know what? When you are on stage, the adrenaline, the beautiful scenery, the people, the applause, the fact that finally was happening after having worked hard and envisioned it for so many years, everything came. And I mean, I can hear to these days, my voice is a little bit nasal and I can see the cold sore on my lips, on the top. right side. Many people, they don't see it. When I tell them, they're like, oh, now I see it. Now go back and look, like you can't see it. And on the second part, when I had I'm wearing the pink dress, it broke. So it's even more swollen.
Tell me a little bit about, I know you performed with Andrea Bocelli, the great Andrea Bocelli. What was that like?
Andrea, first of all, off stage is one of the most funny, nice, kind person you can ever meet. Oh, no, if people see on stage, he's like the voice of God, right? Like Celine Dion said, and he truly is a remarkable human being. Very smart, very kind. To sing with him is like to sing with a record, because it's like a machine. Everything is the same. And when I performed with him the specific night, the first time we performed together, we had a lot of fun. Because there were some little technical issues, like they put me on the wrong side where he normally is. So when I walk him on stage, I position him in front of his microphone and he looks for me on the right side. And he said, Giada, where are you? And I touch him. I said, I'm here. And he said, what are you doing there? I don't know. They put me here. So the audience is looking at us. So Andrea made everybody laugh. Said, well, I am blind, so I couldn't see she's on the wrong side. Normally where the conductor is. So we had a great time. And we stayed in contact with him, actually, every time he comes to perform in Las Vegas. So we just saw him in Italy. He did il Teatro del Silenzio in his own hometown in Laiatico. It's a special connection. He's a special human being. And we should be all very proud that, I mean, he's not Italian anymore. He's like, he belongs to the world. That's what I always say to him.
He's international, correct? Yes, that's for sure. I know you've had a show in Vegas as well at the Smith Center for the Performing.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I became an headliner at in Las Vegas, actually, with my PBS special. And they have here in Las Vegas off the strip only a beautiful performing arts center called the Smith Center since 7-8 years. And I do there twice a year a concert. Every time it's a different concert. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And it's like, I sang also at Carnegie Hall in New York City. And I'm always saying it's the Carnegie Hall of the West, because it's really remarkable place with the best sound. We have big, big names coming to perform here. So I'm very honored to be one of the singer performing there, and also honored to be on the Wall of Fame. When you walk backstage, there's a picture of all these big names. And there I am. I'm like, man, that's, Las Vegas is, it's, I mean, a very remarkable place that has embraced the arts and the community of musicians in a very, very special way. I never felt like home in such a short time like in Las Vegas. And when I mean home, is because all my other colleagues, the musicians, the audience, they just embrace you and they support you. Las Vegas is very, you remember the time of the Red Pack when they were all hanging together? That's what Las Vegas is. We still hang together at parties. We go to, we are getting invited to the show of other singers. And what I mean, and there is no arrogance here. So you can be like an AA headliner and performing with Lady Gaga. You can see Lady Gaga singing in a bar. She walks in and you say, hey, you want to sing? She does. This is Las Vegas. It's just like a music scene. Is really the very remarkable place.
It's an extremely unique place. Yes. Yeah, I would say somebody you have to visit. And if you don't have a chance to visit the world, which most of us don't, you can kind of see the world in Las Vegas.
But all those have a beautiful tribute to Venice here with electric gondolas.
For sure. Yes. It really, it does. It feeds that. It really does. I mean, they made this make-believe kind of a city that is, you know, Rome is there and Paris is there and New York. It's amazing.
And I'm always saying people will come to Vegas, because my friends come to Vegas. The strip is madness. It's beautiful, magnificent, the lights. But when people come to Vegas, I'm always said, try to take a car, rent a car and go and see outside, because outside Las Vegas, just 15, 20 minutes, we have the Red Rock Mountains. We have Lake Las Vegas. We have the Hoover Dam. The landscape here around is magnificent and it's quiet. They say, how can you live in Vegas? I said, well, I perform in Vegas, but I live in a beautiful place that is quiet with palm trees and sunshine all year round.
Absolutely. It really, truly is. Going a little away from music, because you are very multi-talented.
Hopefully.
Explain to me how you're a member of the Accademia Italiana della Cucina.
Because I love to eat.
Because you love to eat
I
now.
love to cook. I love to eat. I love to cook. I'm like all Italian. I never heard anybody else but an Italian that when he's sitting on the table and eats something delicious, he can talk about it for a week long. Oh, I went there and I hit that. This is only us. And I know because I'm married to a Dutch. And when I married him and he took me to Amsterdam, I realized that I was different than all the other people because I was tasting something. I was like, oh, this is delicious. And they were looking at me like, what? So this? And they were like, so what? So, Jesus, this is. And I was talking for a week about something delicious. So I'm Italian. I always have this passion for food and authenticity of good food is important for me. And then you have the Italian food, the Italian American food, the Mexican, but authentic. I'm the Accademia della Cucina Italiana, you know, it's something that basically it tastes the authenticity of Italian food around the world. And I'm always honored when I'm not a member anymore ever since a couple of years, ever since I moved here, actually, because there was not a chapter here. And so I let it a little bit. I all my friends are part, so I get to do the dinners anyway. But it was a nice run, and then you know we write review about the food, and I'm very peculiar and picky about food. I come from a family where my grandmother, like everybody, my mother, they all can cook, and growing up, even though I cooked only really for scratch when I got married because there was no need to cook in my family because grandma and my mother were taking care of everything. My grandma used to say always that a good recipe, a good Italian recipe, doesn't have more than four ingredients. So no counting salt, pepper, olive oil, that's not ingredient for it. But more than four ingredients, she used to say, is just not good. So simple food, that's what Italian food is. That's why in Italy we were, because now we also went a little bit out of our path, very healthy, because everything is made from scratch with the vegetable and the ingredients that we have available. So we are not going to buy stuff that comes from Australia to cook it. No, we eat the fish. In Venice, we eat fish. In the south of Italy, you eat melanzane because they have plenty of it. And so coming from that, I'm really I'm very appreciative of good, well-made food. So I'm also, some of my friends, sometimes they are afraid when they invite me to to dine in their home because they know.
You intimidate them.
No, but I always also say also, my favorite food is also the one made by others. You sit, you eat, and you have to be grateful. So when they cook for me, they're like, how is it? I said, my favorite, it cooked by others. And it's like given to me. So yeah, and I must say I have friends that are good chefs, are good cooks. Actually, some of them are chefs. So I'm always in good hands. And I love to cook and I love to share, because I think, you know, as they say, learn something new every day. Like today, I learned from the mountains, from you. We have to enrich our life. And I think a lot of people in everywhere in the world, they may not know how simple it is to cook something delicious and healthy. So that's what I do. I mean, I'm sure maybe is your next question. During COVID, when there was nothing to do, I put together for 100 days straight, every day we were doing the Giada Life. And once a week, I was bringing the camera into my kitchen and I was cooking. And I realized then how simple recipe, pasta con I piselli, risotto con I gamberi, very simple thing. Recipe, I mean, I cooked every day in my kitchen. And I realized how food, just like music, is memory. It can create something, connections with people. So I had fathers with little children stuck at home. They were cooking the recipe I was making. They never cooked before. And to these days, they write to me and said, you know, we made again with my children, that of a little bit more wealthy people that always had dinners or restaurant during COVID. They were not allowed to go no places. They couldn't even order food. And they started to cook. And to this day, they said, man, now we know how easy it is to make that tiramisu that we pay $20 at the restaurant. And they keep tackle. So, and that's, it's been something that I'm very proud of, that I was able to educate and to inspire, I would say, somebody to try to cook, because we are what we eat. So when we eat a restaurant, no matter how great are those restaurants, I've been in restaurants' kitchen, they put so many butter, so many extra, because it tastes more delicious. But we can do it once a week. We cannot do it every day. Otherwise, we're going to have fat liver, cholesterol, and all kind of problems we have.
So true. Yes. I have a question, curiosity. You're an Italian from Italy. How have you been embraced by the Italian American community in the United States? And be honest, I want you to be totally honest with.
Like one of their own, in the way that my transitions for, I mean, when many of my friends in the United States are Italian American, and what I love about them is really an Italian thing. You can be born here or born in Italy and be a four times generation Italian. When they like you, you became part of the extended family. So it started right away with hugging, with kissing, invitation for dinner, for a Sunday dinner, for meatballs making parties. And so it's been amazing, amazing. Another thing that I found it remarkable here in the United States is, because I always say one of the things I've learned in the United States is to be proud of being Italian. When you are born and raised in Italy like me, and you spend all your time in Italy, that's what I say, my friends, you guys need to go around the world. When you move to another country, then you realize that you are special because you are Italian. I'm always say 50% of my success as a singer, I would say, beside my talents and hopefully all the rest of the stuff that I do, is the fact that I am Italian. So everybody in the world, not Italian American, any kind of person, have Italy in the bucket list. They want to be associated with an Italian. So some of my best friends are Russian, Mexicans, and they all want to be friends, and they would all love the music. And so being Italian, I've learned that the sense of to be proud of being Italian here in the United States. Also, when I did my first concert, I remember in New York City, the DiCapo Theater was this little theater on the Upper East. It was the first time I organized a concert with my husband, and my husband said, "Well, let's invite Italian Americans." We had already, by the time, sang for the Italian American Museum, the Order of Sons of Italy, different chapter around Long Island. So we put this concert together, and they all came. And I remember at the CD table, first of all, when they put the lights on, everybody looked like somebody that was in my family, like you. You can look one of my family. They're all like glasses and smiley face. And I said, "Jesus, they all look my uncle." And they were telling me, "Oh, I am also Italian. My great grandfather came from Naples in 1900. I've never been to Italy. I do not speak the language, but I am Italian." And then I started to realize those people were so proud of their heritage. Me, being Italian, I had never had the feeling. Listen, I had never sang the Italian national anthem in Italy. I mean, I've been singing it since forever in the events here in the United States, at the NIAF in Washington. I've done it many times. In America, I never, we until 10 years ago, we didn't even know the lyrics of the Italian national anthem in Italy. That was one of our presidents 10 years ago, that was a big soccer match, and he noticed that the soccer player could not even mimic the fratelli. So he made sure that everybody had the old school at a tape of Fratelli d'Italia, the Italian national anthem, and kids and everybody needed to learn the lyrics.
Good for him.
And yeah, and ever since, I mean, I remember I was in New York already by then, and I remember going to perform an Italian national anthem at the consulate in Italy. At the time, I think Francesco Tallo was the president, was
So, John.
consul general, and Francesco Tallo had arranged that everybody had a booklet with the lyrics. And I remember even the people that did not speak English, they were trying to just to mimic sing with me, and I thought it was beautiful. We have to be proud of our heritage, no matter what our heritage is. We are taking with us all this accomplishment for so many people that came before us, like we talked in the beginning of this podcast, and we should be proud. I mean, everybody should be proud. And I'm always said there is always the discussion, be proud of, the black, the white. That doesn't matter to me, is your culture. And I mean, you can be a black Italian American. I know them, actually. We have one in New York. I adore him, Professor Jackson. He made himself Italian, and he's so proud of it. So I'm always like, we should be proud of what we are and be kind to all the people that are different than us, and embrace and try to understand the difference that we have. I'm a big supporter of love, 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 and kindness. I think it's something that we're really missing in this world. Sometimes we miss that little thing that make us human.
Great
That is
answer.
love.
Thank you. That was wonderful. That's a great answer, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I know, I see you nodding all the
Oh,
time.
absolutely. Yes. Tell me what you're doing now, what the future holds.
Well, I just have a Christmas album. During COVID, it was another thing that we were in social distances. I was missing my friends, my family, and they started to say, maybe this Christmas we are not going to be able to be all together. I was always going to Italy for Christmas. So I started to say, oh my gosh, I cannot wait for the moment we're going to be together again. And I started to work on an idea for a Christmas album. For years, I was doing this show that I still do it. It's called Love Under the Christmas Tree, because I told you about love is everything about love for me. And so I called my producer in Los Angeles, and before you knew, we put together 13 song. We were able to go to Capitol Studios in Los Angeles with the best musicians ever, all the biggest musicians, Nathan East, all the play with the top artists were out of business. There was nothing to do. So they were all able to call with Masker. We recorded. Then I needed strings. The Royal Philharmonic of London was out of business too. It was the first day where I posted today, actually, on my social media, if people want to go see. The first day they were able to be in Abbey Road studio all together was the day that they recorded my album, social distancing, but all the 60 people in one room. And we recorded it, and it just came, it's coming out in this November. And I made the whole album with the idea that it would have been released when COVID was just a memory. So this was the good year. And it just came out. I'm very proud to say, because I'm a proud Italian, but I do love country music. And there are two amazing duets in the album. One is with Trace Adkins, which I'm very proud to say I made Trace Adkins, that is the cowboy of America, right? Made him sing Italian. He's singing a couple of lines in Italian with me on Astro del Ciel. Everybody should listen, because Trace is so proud of himself, so much so that he has invited me to sing with him in December at the Grand Ole Opry. We're going to be singing the duet together, Astro del Ciel, Silent Night, basically, for people. And the other duet is with Vince Gill. It's royalty of country music. And I cannot say nothing talking about being a superstar. Those two are superstar with a heart of gold, and they thanked me for collaborating with them, just like the Royal Philharmonic did this morning. We had one of the single, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, is in collaboration with the Royal Philharmonic, and they thank me for singing with them. I'm like, come on. But this is what being great is. This, my grandfather, I cannot say on the podcast, maybe I could. My grandfather has a saying, can we say that? My grandfather had to say they shape me as a person. When I was going home and say to my parents, to my grandfather, you know, grandpa, I met this, he's great, he's famous. My grandfather used to say, kid, even the Pope, when he goes to the bathroom, needs to push. I know, very Italian, he's a foot a bathroom. But it's very, let's say, maybe not elegant to say, but that shaped me, because we are all human beings first. And when I met, like when I said, I met Andrea Bocelli, and I met Vince Gill and Trace Adkins, even Johnny Reed, that is another guy that I have a duet, he's a super famous singer in Canada with many, many awards. Those people are just like me and you, people. They love other people, they like to create things together, collaborations, and that's, for me, it's the trademark of a superstar. So when sometimes they say to me that I'm a superstar, I said, yes, I'm the superstar that nobody knows yet, but I take superstar if superstar is what I think it is, that is just a person that is doing what she loves, that is bringing joy to other, and stays grounded.
That's great. That's great. Great words, yeah. By Grandpa.
Grandpa was, he had so many saying, one more crazy or the other. I appreciate him and understand him now that I'm an adult. But as a young kid, when he was saying the one that I said to you before, I said, what do you mean the Pope goes to the bathroom? I said, I wouldn't envision the Pope going to the bathroom when I was talking about the celebrity that I had just met. But then now later.
It all makes sense.
So
how do we follow you? How do we see about upcoming things? Give us some info.
They can go on my website, which is very easy, is www.giadavalenti.com. And if they don't know how to spell my name, it's GIADAVALENTI.com. And they can go there. They can find me on all the social medias. I'm on all of them. And I handle the post most of the time, if I can, by myself. I love to share and communicate. That's what sometimes they complimented me that I answer to everybody. I'm said, if you have too many friends and you cannot talk to them, then you don't deserve them. So I try to do as much as I can to answer to everybody. And I mean, if well used, social media is a great tool.
Well, Jada, thank you so much for your time. You truly, I could see you're very sincere. You have a beautiful, soothing voice and personality to go along with it. And you are this like great representative for us, for Italians in this country, especially. We need, like I said, we need people like you. And, you know, promoting, you know, even like you said about the country singer singing in Italian, I think that's great. You're promoting the language. That's awesome. So God bless you. Thank you for all you're doing. Keep doing it for us. We're so happy that you're here in this country.
Thank you for this opportunity. And thank you for making me discover you. Now, you know, I'm Italian, so you're my extended family. You're in Chicago, right?
I am in Chicago. Yes, yes, definitely.
Come to Vegas. You have a friend here.
Thank you. And the same to you when you come to Chicago, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Frank.